Welcome to UBS On Air. From the UBS On Air studio in New York City, I'm Nash Wedderburn. Today's topic of discussion will focus around the importance of being aware of your options when it comes to Medicare coverage. I'm glad to welcome back your host for today's conversation is Total Wealth Strategist Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Ainsley Carbone. So with that, I'll pass it over to you, Ainsley.
Thank you, Nash. On this podcast today, we'll be discussing some of the basics of Medicare and why your Medicare coverage isn't just important during the open enrollment period, but throughout the year as well. So my guest today is Bill Stapleton, Chief Executive Officer of Health Plan One, which he actually founded in 2006. Bill, it's wonderful to have you here today. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So Bill has over 20 years of experience in the health insurance industry, and he founded Health Plan One with the objective of optimizing consumer interactions for those who are approaching and in retirement, and for those retirees or pre-retirees who are in need of health insurance. So Health Plan One focuses on Medicare education, client needs analysis, plan comparisons and evaluations, as well as enrollment assistance. Now, the reason we asked Bill to join us here today is because he really has a lot of experience helping people through this daunting process of enrolling and reevaluating your Medicare coverage. And, you know, Bill, given your experience, I think what we're trying to get out of this discussion today is we're really hoping that you can provide some insight today for those who are either preparing for eligibility, ready to enroll, or really who are just looking to reevaluate their current coverage. So with that, I'd like to have you start the discussion off by giving us a brief overview of the various options retirees sure. have through Medicare. So that's original Medicare,
yes.
Medicare Advantage, supplemental coverage, prescription, everything.
Yes. So when you turn 65, you're eligible for Medicare. The government provides that. They provide Medicare Part A for hospitals, which is free, and then Medicare Part B, which is for physician coverage. There's a cost to that. We'll get in that in a second. But effectively, there's gaps in that coverage. There's deductibles as coinsurance. There's a deductible for both the hospital, a small deductible for the physician. But more importantly, there's a 20% coinsurance for all physician services. And that coinsurance is unlimited, which is often why people want to buy gap insurance to deal with the gaps. And so that gap insurance can be called Medigap. Can be called GAP or more commonly Medicare supplement insurance. And that for a UBS client is typically what a Medicare enrollee will buy. They'll buy GAP insurance and that insurance is sold by many top health plans, Aetna, Cigna, Mutual Omaha and others. They'll also buy a Part D drug plan. And they'll buy that from an insurer to cover their drug costs. There is another way to go in the Medicare world where you can trade your original Medicare for a more traditional health plan, an HMO or a PPO. Those plans are sold by Humana, United, Cigna, Aetna, and others. Typically, a consumer may do that because they want to get a lower price. And so effectively, they agree to get in an HMO network or a PPO network for a lower price. And so it's effectively a cost network access trade-off. I think most UBS customers will head towards a Medicare supplement plan, which is more expensive, but doesn't have that network trade-off.
Yeah, and of course, it all depends on your own situation. So that's why it's so important for people, clients, and advisors to really understand what it is that they're actually getting and how that can fit in with their own specific client needs, because of course, there's not one answer that's going to suit everyone. So with this open enrollment period, I know that's something for someone who already has existing coverage, correct?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, so this is kind of the period where they have the opportunity to make changes. Now, what happens when, let's say, if someone is already in there, has their Medicare coverage, if it's something that they think is okay, if they don't take any action right now, what's going to happen to them?
That plan will automatically renew on January 1, and things will go on as they have been, except for any changes that the health plan may have made to that plan, which they would have notified the customer on and around October 1, any changes to the plan, they'll be notified. Other than that, it just renews.
Okay. So would you think that that means that people who already have their coverage, does that mean that they don't have to do anything? Or would you recommend that they should maybe look at any other plans that may have become available, not only to see any changes that have been made within the marketplace, but also any changes that they've had with their own health needs. Is that a point that they might want to reevaluate?
I think to start with, if you're unhappy for some reason with your plan, it's a perfect time to shop. I wouldn't feel obligated to shop. But many people do, is just kind of good financial hygiene to shop their plan and make sure they're getting the best value for their dollars.
Okay. That makes sense. Now, when it comes to thinking about within the context of your financial plan, you know, Medicare education and plan comparisons are important during this open enrollment period. But this isn't the only time of year when the topic of Medicare might be coming up with your financial advisor. It's always going to be relevant to the clients and the advisor. So can you talk a bit about why it's important to be aware of what's available to you for someone maybe who's enrolling in for the first time outside of this open enrollment period, and maybe why it might be important for them to be aware and kind of involved with their Medicare coverage throughout the whole year?
Right, right. Just talk a little bit about that planning as they turn 65. Your Medicare Part B has a premium associated with it, and that premium is, it could be $150 or it could go up to nearly $500 depending on how much income you earn. Mm-hmm. So you want to look at your tax returns. And if you make as a joint filer $170,000 or less, you'll pay that $150. But if you, it steps up to $750,000 annual income, you may pay up to $500. So you want to look at your income and see how that is going to impact your cost. So that's one place you want to spend time, and the financial advisor wants to spend time because it is a big impact. I think the second place, the consumer should think about is their Medicare supplement plan. In most states is medically underwritten, which means you can pick a plan when you turn 65 or you enter Medicare. But if you want to switch your Medicare supplement plan, you're going to get asked medical questions. And once you hit age 70, most people can't pass those exams. Mm-hmm. So you really better make a good choice on your Medicare supplement plan because you may have it for the next 30 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you certainly make a good point about thinking about the taxes, because that, of course, can then cause surcharges. So when you're thinking about your Medicare, it's important to understand what your costs are, because if you're trying to set up your financial plan, let's say you're retired and you're trying to set up your expenses for the upcoming year, you want to make sure you have enough set aside so that it, at least for to provide you some context, here at UBS, we have what we call UBS Wealth Way. It's a framework for wealth management where we have three strategies set aside. There's liquidity, longevity, and legacy. So liquidity is something that we'd have. It's our assets that we earmark for near-term spending. So for someone who's in retirement, when we're coming into the new year, we want to make sure we're aware of what our expenses are so that we can make sure we have those assets ready for spending in the liquidity strategy, so that if there's market volatility and we get hit with a major expense, we don't have to access those liquidity, or we don't have to force any liquidation within our risk assets to maybe risk the chance of locking in losses at depressed value. So by kind of sitting down, I think, with your financial advisor and getting an understanding of what potential costs you might be exposed to with that coverage throughout the year, I think that can really help people plan as it comes to year-end financial planning as we head into the new year. So, Bill, I know consumers can educate themselves and compare multiple plan options and even enroll on your website, but you also have agents who are available for those who are looking for assistance, maybe with education or enrollment over the phone. What would you say is the most common question your agents get asked? And is there anything that you can touch on that you would say is the most challenging aspect of Medicare when it comes to the whole enrollment process and finding your own plan?
Right. I think the most common question we're asked, particularly for consumers coming from a financial planner, is often they're not fully retiring. They may be partially retiring or thinking about getting off their group plan. And so they want an estimate of, if I leave my group plan, leave my COBRA, leave whatever I have, what will it cost me under Medicare? And is that a good trade-off for me? And that can be I don't want to say complicated. It's not complicated, but you got to do the math, because you're going to have to pay for your Part B, and it's means tested. How much is that going to cost? You're going to have to buy your Medicare supplement plan. You're going to have to buy your Medicare Part D plan. And then you get into the the so-called donut hole. And if you're taking a lot of prescriptions, you know, how deep is the donut hole, if you will?
Could you take some time for our listeners and also for my own personal use to give us some education a little bit about the donut hole and what that is?
Sure. Right. And so when Congress passed the prescription drug plan in 2005, within there is what they call a coverage gap. And so how that works, a typical plan, if you took, say, the Humana Walmart plan, which mm-hmm. is an extraordinarily popular plan, costs only $15 a month, and generics maybe $1 or $2 or $3, but there's a deductible in that plan of $460. And then once the plan and the member has spent approximately $4,000, you get into the so-called coverage gap, where you've got to pay 25% of your costs for the next couple thousand dollars. And that is a so-called donut hole. And so that could cost you $1,500, $2,000 in there. When you get through the coverage gap or donut hole, then your only, cost is 5% of the meds. But for a lot of people, that's a big number. And so they want to plan for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you absolutely want to make sure you have that money available. And you also want to be aware of that potential risk or that potential scenario that might arise over the year that, hey, you might have to pay this significant amount of money. You want to make sure you have those assets set aside so you don't have to, so you can actually meet your spending needs in a flexible manner. So any final thoughts that you'd like to add before we wrap up, maybe about how advisors might be able to add some value to this Medicare experience for our clients? Because, of course, Medicare, it's something that can be so overwhelming for those who are not just in retirement, but for those who are approaching Medicare eligibility. What can you add to the conversation to just kind of help guide our advisors when it comes to guiding them regarding their Medicare?
Yes, yes. And so when we think about seniors that we work with, there's really two things on their mind as they're retiring. Can I pick a good health plan that's going to keep me healthy for a long time? And will I outlive my savings? And financial advisors are awesome at the latter. And I would suggest that they find somebody really great at the former picking a great plan. And so we have some just phenomenal, really advisors, to help seniors feel really, really confident they're picking the best plan for them at the right time.
Okay. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Please be aware that this conversation occurred during Medicare's general open enrollment period in 2019. And while some of the information may be relevant to you beyond December 7th, 2019, the details pertaining to various costs and aspects of the Medicare program should not be relied upon beyond then, as details are subject to change. Please also note that, as discussed on this podcast, most individuals receive Medicare Part A premium free, but that's not the case for everyone. Individuals receive premium free Part A at 65 if you are receiving or eligible for Social Security or Railroad retirement benefits, or if you or your spouse had Medicare-covered government employment. Individuals under 65 can receive premium-free Part A if you are receiving Social Security or Railroad disability benefits for 24 months, or if you had end-stage renal disease and meet certain requirements. Part B premium in 2019 for those filing a joint tax return starts at $135.50 per month, and in 2020, the premium will start at $144.60 per month. Back to you, Nash.
And once again, thank you to our guest, Bill Stapleton, CEO of Health Plan One, which was founded back in 2006, and our host, Total Wealth Strategist Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Ainsley Carbone.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliates. The views and opinions expressed in this material by external guest speakers are those of the author, speaker, and are not those of UBS, its subsidiaries, or affiliates. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over the content of this material or any claims, losses, or damages arising from the use or reliance of all or any part thereof. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient, and is published for informational purposes only. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.